You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Hello, I'm Ella Vidrinska from Showtime, URN's specialist musical theatre show, and you're listening to our podcast Spotlight On, where I'm keeping you up to date each week with all the latest theatrical news. And it is a very exciting week for theatre fans, because on Friday just gone, the much anticipated film version of West Side Story finally opened in cinemas, and well, I am happy to tell you that it is just as good as you'd been hoping.
Oye, Javi! Ponle fuego, vamos!
I'm a Puerto Rican.
Is that okay?
I want to be happy here. I want to make a life at home.
You keep away from him.
I'm gonna think for myself.
Get your shoes on.
I want to dance. I can be right in America.
If you can fight in America.
So let's start at the beginning, because we have been waiting a long time for this film. It was meant to be out last year in 2020, but got delayed due to the pandemic, and then partly also because they realised that saving it for 2021 meant that it would coincide with the 60th anniversary of the 1961 film version of West Side Story. But now we finally have it, and it is everything that you have dreamed and more. So first of all, let's talk about Steven Spielberg, who has directed and co-produced this film. He has done such a phenomenal job, that's the main thing. From the very beginning, you can really tell that it has been made by someone who knows and understands film better than anybody else. I mean, I have said time and time again how much I, as a theatre fan, appreciate having proper theatre people behind the camera on movie musicals. And I think Lin-Manuel Miranda's Tick, Tick, Boom is probably the best example this year of how well that works. When someone from the theatre world is able to capture the scale and grandeur and theatricality of a movie musical with that kind of magic and suspension of disbelief that you get. And in so many ways, Steven Spielberg's West Side Story is both exactly the same and the complete opposite of that. Because although it does all of the musical bits brilliantly, it's the film itself as a film, as a cinematic experience, where West Side Story is at its best. The use of colour, the lighting, the camera shots, it all speaks to Steven Spielberg's experience as a filmmaker rather than as a theatre maker. So if Tick, Tick, Boom is like the theatre lover's movie musical, then West Side Story is definitely the film lover's one. And because both of them commit to what they're doing so well and execute it with such sophistication and style, it ends up winning over the other half of the crowd too, if that makes any sense. I mean, from start to finish, West Side Story is just so visually spectacular and a real treat for the eyes. And, well, I take my metaphorical hat off to Steven Spielberg for capturing that so well. Because what he's effectively done is bring the really old-fashioned golden age movie musical into the 21st century. It's all the nostalgia that we love, but a bit polished up and smoothed out in the best possible way. And there's no trickery, there's nothing too over the top, in the sense I mean that it's like regular dialogue and then a big song and dance number, rather than any special effects or breaking the fourth wall or anything like that. It felt incredibly old-fashioned in a lot of ways, and I think that's something that a lot of modern movie musicals, La La Land especially, if you want me to name names, that's something that they've been aiming for and haven't quite managed to hit. Well, West Side Story does it in abundance, and it is brilliant. And it's helped, of course, by the cast. The hill I will die on is that movie musicals are lifted when they involve actual theatre people who can already do all the things that they need to make the film work. We saw it in The Heights. We saw it in Tick, Tick, Boom. We saw it kind of in Dear Evan Hansen, maybe to a lesser extent. But West Side Story, blows them all out of the water. If you've seen the stage show or the 1961 film before, you'll know what a big production West Side Story is. Like, it's the definition of a triple threat show, and you need your cast to be able to sing big songs and deliver an emotionally driven acting performance and dance their socks off while doing everything else simultaneously as well. And I am so, so incredibly grateful that they cast theatre people for this film, because it just makes all the difficult bits look effortless. And the star of the show in that regard for me is Ariana DeBose as Anita. She is a name that you definitely need to keep an eye open for, because everything she does is brilliant. She was in the original casts of Bring It On and Hamilton on Broadway. She was in the film version of The Prom and has been in Apple TV's musical show Schmigadoon this year. She was Tony nominated for her role as Donna Summer in Summer, the Donna Summer musical, another self-explanatory title there. And she started her career as a contestant on So You Think You Can Dance. So she really is a quintessential triple threat. And as Anita in West Side Story, she just steals every single scene that she's in. There's a reason that the shot of her in that flouncy yellow dress that she wears for the song America has already become one of the trademark pictures for this film. She is just stunning in every way possible. And when she's on screen, you can't help but bask in her glory. She is just brilliant. Now, she stars opposite David Alvarez as her boyfriend Bernardo, the leader of the Sharks gang. Now, he was actually one of the original Billies in the Broadway production of Billy Elliot and became one of the youngest ever winners of the Best Actor Tony Award for that part. So you know you're in capable hands whenever he appears. And he's so great as Bernardo. He's got the swagger, he's got the dangerous side. And yet throughout, you can always see his defiance and his pride of who he is and where he comes from and how much he genuinely cares for his younger sister Maria. And speaking of Maria, we need to talk about Rachel Zegler. This is her feature film debut and her first professional acting gig, if we're being honest. And it's not a shabby way to start by any means, is it? I mean, she has been on stage in school productions and stuff for years before and had already made a name for herself in the theatre community by posting covers of musical theatre songs on YouTube. But she just shines as Maria in this film. She's got the perfect blend of doe-eyed innocence and feistiness, and her voice is so pure and gorgeous. She is the perfect Maria, genuinely. Like, it's no wonder at all that she's already being snapped up for other projects, not least playing Snow White in Disney's new upcoming live-action adaptation of Snow White. So you'll definitely be seeing great things from Rachel Zegler in the coming years, I promise you. Now, you can't mention Maria without also mentioning Tony, who is played in this film by Ansel Elgort. Now, this is a difficult one because after the film had finished shooting, but before its planned release in 2020, allegations were made against him regarding sexual assault. The allegations have been denied, but I'm not going to spend much time on him or mention his name any more than necessary here. All I'm going to say on the matter is that in relation to this film itself, he played Tony very well. His voice was really suited to the part. He was very believable as Tony, and there was a great athleticism to his performance that made the dance and fight sequences very impressive to watch. But that's all I'm saying on the matter. Which means I can now move on to one of my favourite performances in the whole film, Mike Feist as Riff, the leader of the Jets. Now, I love Mike Feist. He was in the original cast of Newsies. He originated the role of Connor in Dear Evan Hansen. He's a proper theatre star and such a lovely person to boot. And the fact that he played Riff so convincingly is genuinely impressive. Like, every time he did or said anything mean, I'd be like, no, Mike, you're so lovely. Why are you doing this? And again, it was such a pleasure to watch him perform in his element. He's another one who, whenever he's on screen, you just can't help but gravitate towards him. Like, let's face it, there are some really stellar performances in this film across the board, but if I had to single out one male actor for recognition, it's going to be Mike Feist. Now, on a similar note, there are some other newsies to look out for in the film, not least Ben Cook, who plays Mouthpiece, and he has a great little moment centre stage during the song G, Officer Krupke. Oh, and Officer Krupke himself is played by the brilliant Brian D'Arcy James. I mean, name a Broadway show and Brian D'Arcy James has probably been in it. Like, he originated the role of Shrek in Shrek and Nick Bottom in Something Rotten, and he was in the original 1997 cast of Titanic. He's played King George in Hamilton and Dan in Next to Normal and Freddie in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. He still hasn't won a Tony yet, but trust me, it's only a matter of time. So again, another great theatre name to have in this film. And on that note, I also have to give a special mention to Rita Moreno. Now, she has done a lot of movie musicals before, things like Singing in the Rain and The King and I and so on, but she's still probably best loved by theatre fans for playing the role of Anita in the 1961 film version of West Side Story. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I ever think of that film version, my brain instantly goes to her in that iconic purple dress that she wears for the song America. Like, the woman is a living legend. And she came back for this 2021 film version, not just as an executive producer, but also to play the newly invented role of Valentina. Now, if you've seen the stage show or the original film, you'll be familiar with the character of Doc, who runs the drugstore where Tony works and who serves as kind of a mentor to a lot of the teenage characters. Well, in this version, he's died and his Latina wife, Valentina, is now running the shop and acting as Tony's de facto guardian. And it's genuinely such a good plot device, because not only does she get to have this expanded emotional relationship with Tony, but the fact that she herself is a Latina character gives the opportunity to have respectful interactions with both the Sharks and the Jets. More to the point, though, Rita Moreno is just fantastic as Valentina. She is such a consistent force of nature throughout the film. Like, she turned 90 this weekend, and you would never know she's that kind of age because she brings such a vibrancy and strength to the role. She's also the one who sings the song Somewhere in this version, and hands down, it was one of my favourite moments in the film. Usually Somewhere is sung by one of the Shark Girls over the top of Tony and Maria doing a sort of dream ballet sequence as they plan to run away together and imagine a world where they might find peace. But giving the song to this older matriarchal figure who, given that she married a white man herself, has gone through much the same as Tony and Maria now are, it gives the song so much more poignancy. Like, rather than the sort of more idealistic hopefulness of a young person singing it, having Valentina perform Somewhere gives it way more depth, as you've effectively got someone who has lived through this and seen so much and spent their life hoping and wishing for change, only to now see the younger generation before her still making the same mistakes. And when you add in the fact that this is Rita Moreno singing it, someone who herself was in the original film 60 years ago and who has watched the world change and develop and ultimately have many of the same social problems still in that time as we had 60 years ago, it just makes it all the more special. Genuinely, it gave me chills. It was so well done. I will put a link here in the post, actually, so you can go and listen to the music of the film. The soundtrack was out a couple of weeks ago, and it gives a really nice flavour of what to expect from the film, although by no means does it come anywhere close to capturing the visuals of it, particularly in the big dance sequences like Mambo and America. They are just spectacular. I will say, in the sea of incredible five-star reviews that this film has been getting, one of the only quibbles, for want of a better word, that I've seen is the big change in choreography. Now, I didn't mind it that much personally, but I will hold my hands up and say that I've never actually seen West Side Story on stage, and While I've watched the big dances in the 1961 film many, many times, I don't know them like the back of my hand personally, so any deviation from them isn't going to affect me. But the Tony Award-winning choreographer, Justin Peck, has created entirely original routines for this film and hasn't tried to replicate Jerome Robbins' original choreography in any way, which I think has slightly jarred with some more dancer-based people, like the choreographer Matthew Bourne, for instance. I saw him talking about this. And I totally get it. Like, my equivalent is when I watch Cats or something, which I know intimately, and it's really off-putting when you get to a piece of choreography that you know well and you're expecting it and then it doesn't happen. And it can also feel like a bit of a betrayal to the original choreographer's work. Like, I definitely had that with the Cats film. So while I didn't notice it that much in West Side Story and didn't have an issue with it, I am aware that it may take a bit of getting used to for some people. I do still think the dance sequences were visually spectacular, with America still being the standout for me. Although I will say G Officer Krupke and Cool, both of which are in slightly different places in the running order for the 2021 film, both of those were brilliant dance numbers from the Jets, so keep an eye out for them. In terms of other differences in this version of West Side Story compared to others, there are quite a few things to comment on. Tony Kushner has tweaked bits of the backstory and put some never-before-heard sections into his script. Quite a few of the scenes have large bits in Spanish that are deliberately not subtitled, as Steven Spielberg really wanted to emphasise the need for authentic representation, especially in relation to the 1961 film, which really lacked quite a bit in that department. And actually, on the topic of representation, a really nice touch was that the character of Anybody's, who is shunned by the Jets despite desperately wanting to join their gang, they are now trans and played by Iris Menas, who is a non-binary actor, which definitely adds a lot of depth to that character. I will put a link to a What's on Stage article in the post here if you want to find out more about some of the other differences in this new film, but really it is just such an accomplished piece of cinema overall that any changes only add to the new package rather than detracting from a previous version. Genuinely, I know that I'm sitting here prattling on about it, but the best thing I can do is tell you to go and see West Side Story for yourself. It is such a treat. 2021 really has been the year of movie musicals, and this is now just the icing on the cake. It's already getting a little bit of Oscar buzz on social media, so make sure you get in early to see what all the fuss is about. Why not? Genuinely, though, it is spectacular. And on that note, I will say goodbye for this week. Of course, I'll be back again next Sunday at 7 p.m. for a brand new Spotlight On to let you know how to catch the Broadway legend Sutton Foster in Anything Goes live in your living room this Christmas. So I will see you next week, because, as we say, the showtime must go on. Until then, good night.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.